You're on.
I'd like to call to order the May 3rd meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And we said no one's on the phone, right?
That's correct.
Okay. We do have a member absent this evening, Tony. Do I have a motion to excuse?
Motion to excuse, Tony.
And I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, so Tony is excused for this evening's meeting. Assume you guys have had the opportunity of reviewing the agenda. Any comments?
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second?
Second.
Favor?
Aye.
Okay, so this evening's agenda is approved. And then as far as the minutes go, have everyone had the opportunity of reviewing the minutes? Any comments?
Fire alarm was too loud.
What's that?
Fire alarm was too loud.
Yes, it was loud. We got a good hour in last month.
I motion we accept the minutes as presented.
Second. Okay. Favor?
Aye.
Okay. Minutes are approved. And then, Mandy or Beth, any public comments?
No, sir.
Okay. Alrighty. So just jumping into old business, if you guys remember, we had intended to go ahead and get all of the Chapter 15 work wrapped up last month, but there were too many changes to feel comfortable in doing that. So we're having that resubmitted today for a final review.
That would be my recommendation. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
But I'd walk you through real quick the changes that I understood we needed to do. And starting on page 7 of your agenda packet, we're going to be referring to the text amendments, page 1 through 44. When I use a page reference, I'm talking about the reference at the bottom of the page, not the agenda page.
Okay.
On page 2 of the 44-page document, reflecting a change that we did later about tourist lodging, I added the definitions for bed and breakfast, and the statutory, the general statutes had two definitions, bed and breakfast home, bed and breakfast in, so I simply used statutory language and put those two definitions in this section of the Chapter 15.
Jim, just a question on that. For bed and breakfast in, item D, is the permanent residence? Is that, I just want to make sure that's correct.
This all came out of the statute.
Okay.
Just very quickly, for bed and breakfast under the statute, the person actually has to live there. So it is an owner,
okay, so it's
occupied,
both is.
And then they rent it as an inn.
Got it. Thank you.
Going down the billboard, there was a parenthetical that I deleted. I didn't recreate that parenthetical. It was basically an internal direction, so to speak. It didn't have anything to do with the definitions. The next one would be on page 5 of the 44-page document. My understanding that instead of single family, CDC decided to go with one family, so I made that change, which leads me to mention that in the, I believe we looked at the permitted use part 1, RA 1A, and by motion I need to make that change, and I did make that change. So they're waiting. You've done what you need to do for part 1 permitted uses. We're collecting them now, waiting for council. Send them to council, but we made that change. On page 6, for freestanding signs, we deleted ground sign does not mean billboard. On page 14, we inserted the statutory language for bed and breakfast home and bed and breakfast inn, which is why I included those definitions that we previously looked at just a second ago. On page 26, late addition, we added 1530.030 so that we could make the syntactical or grammatical change that you see reflected there, take out AN and substitute A. On page 29, I reworded the syntax for subsection D, and I used the word harmonious instead of consistent. Harmonious shows up, for example, as a requirement when town council is considering in a quasi-judicial hearing the issuance of a special use permit. And we probably use it in the downtown preservation overlay district as well, so I thought it'd be consistent, so to speak, to use harmonious instead of consistent. Let's see, the next one would be page 33. Took out consistent with existing uses and plugged in harmonious with the neighborhood. This is the section dealing with exceptions to the height, and I didn't think existing uses had much to do with that so much as being harmonious with the way the rest of the neighborhood looked. They had used the word consistent before, basically, like I did the last two examples, use consistent instead. Mm-hmm. I mean, harmonious instead.
For that one, should the second is be there?
Is harmonious, how is this? Yes, we need to take one of those out.
And then also, after within, within in?
I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
The neighborhood within in which... I think that's yes, also the in can go away.
Yes, you're right.
Okay.
So the second is and in both get deleted?
That's correct.
If I could just jump in real quick. Well, one of the recommendations, too, is to make the justification statement consistent with the requirements for it, too. And I did we do that?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Yeah, last time, I think I made the mention that when we looked at the justification statement, there was one that was not consistent or the same as the requirements for the height.
I think that's the one we were dealing with.
Okay. It's harmonious. So I was trying to look back in the ordinance where we talk about it just to make sure that the language is the same in the justification statement as what our requirements are to allow it.
Yes, if you look at page 29.
29, okay.
At the top is the first time we plug in harmonious, and this is the section dealing with height exception. So the last one, we're still in the height exception section, mm-hmm. both on 29 and 33.
Okay.
33 is really part of the application process. But I can make those two changes you mentioned. On page 34, we took out the parenthetical preceding the word institute. And then the last one that I recall from the meeting is on 39. We added section 1540.030 to make the change to subsection C, which shows up on the next page, page 40, where to be consistent with the rest of the code, we were shingle diagonal suspended, or shingle slash suspended. And that's it, as far as I know. If there's any other...
Of course, Jim, I have one. If
you owe you a quarter?
Yeah.
And actually, this was there last month also, and nobody caught it. But if you look at page 30 of 44.
All right, hang on.
Yep.
No, you just cost me 50 cents.
Yeah, it's okay. They're paying me more. If you look at the top of the page, it says paragraphs E, F, 1. That should be E, 1, 2, 3, 4, and G should actually be F.
Okay.
That was just somehow, you know, an indent messed up there.
Bullet error.
Yes, yep. That's all.
That's a good catch.
If those are the only changes, those are minor. You could...
If I could kind of come back then page 35, it's not a change. I think it's more of a question. When we're looking, actually, it's on page 34, starting there.
Let me catch up with you.
Please. Sure.
35?
No, 34, talking about solar energy equipment. And John may remember this, but probably about 10 years ago, the state passed there's a legislative law that required us to have, to address solar energy. And it was only about one paragraph in the state rules. But what we did is we ended up writing a fairly lengthy solar panel equipment discussion, which is contained right here. And I just wanted to make sure that that's still consistent, that the state law hasn't changed, because we had to make our local ordinance consistent with the state law. And related to that is number 9 on page 36 of 44.
36 of 44.
If you look at number 9, it says the town of Kiri Beach recognizes that there are continuous improvements in solar equipment technology. Non-reflective solar cells that are completely integrated into a normal building material, such as roof tiles, may be exempt. This we actually wrote this before Tesla came out with the roof tiles. And I just was going to ask John, because this puts the onus on John to determine whether they are consistent, if he still feels comfortable with this statement.
I think so. I mean, it captures the intent of the ordinance. You know, it's...
Because I think we will start seeing more and more Tesla and roof tiles and stuff like that.
We're going to talk about that more in just a little bit as far as the battery pack.
The battery, yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Roofing tiles are less concerning to me than the panels that are up there.
Okay. All right, then I don't have any comments here.
So, John, do you get many requests for that? Okay.
So if there are not any further changes, you could entertain a motion to consider your recommendation to council regarding these proposed text amendments. And then when you're done with that, consider the consistency statement, which is, I don't know what agenda page that is.
Do we have a motion to approve the changes to Chapter 15 as discussed?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Carries. And then...
I'll make a motion to approve the consistency statement.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Thank you,
Jim.
Send these on the council to fix a date for the legislative period. Thank you.
Excellent. All right. I think that's it for old business. So moving to new business, this is a carryover topic from last month that the fire alarm prevented us from being able to cover, but it's getting into the next 4 districts from a permitted use standpoint. Joe, you're leading this discussion, right?
I don't think so.
No?
I think you are.
Well, as far as the...
I think I originally raised the issue, but I think that we've all been going through it.
Yep.
I mean, since I kind of raised the issue at the very beginning of this, I'll go ahead and lead the discussion if that's okay.
Sure.
You know, again, we're just kind of going through and looking at the permitted uses to try to make it consistent between the different categories. In terms of the language, and also to make sure that we are not allowing any permitted uses that perhaps we don't want to have as permitted uses. And I think we've dealt with the rather kind of the easier ones, and we're getting to now where we're starting to get to ones that have a lot more permitted uses, starting with the RA3 district. And I'm pulling up the planning map right now because that's what I'd like to look at.
Mm-hmm. And then for those following the agenda, we're on 53 of 58.
Would it be possible to pull up the planning map on the monitor? Yeah, well, no, the yeah, the zoning map.
Sure.
Just so we can all see where these different districts are.
It looks like it's along the water, except for the historic.
Yeah.
Down to is that G?
So it looks like we have two different pieces for RA3. This shows.
This is B1.
Yeah, this shows a divide. It's mm-hmm. Only here. So this.
Yeah, there's only is four blocks.
RA3 here. It's also
down to the left.
There's only four blocks for B1.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is there, I'm not aware of another.
We're in RA3, right?
Yeah, we're
RA3. This is RA3.
Yeah. B1 is next to it, but, or in between.
Oh,
in between.
Yeah.
RA3.
So this is outside our historic district.
Mm-hmm.
Our historic district goes to B1, so this is immediately north of the historic district. Yeah.
Is there a rolling map up here somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
I
could point it. It's actually both sides.
I have
of
a
B1.
For those of you in the back that can't see, RA3.
Great.
Here's
B1.
I knew it was over there.
So,
this
so you got a piece of RA3 here.
Oh, thank you.
And then you got
RA3 oh, right,
okay. That way in here.
So it's on both sides of the B1.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
But there's an RA4 stuck here in the middle of RA3.
Can't be a
extends out.
Oh.
And this is RA3 right here.
Right. Okay. So obviously we have a number of hotels, guest houses, tourist homes, you know, all these sort of things in the RA3 district.
Mm-hmm.
Hotels, motels.
So, John, is there anything that stands out for you?
There's only one hotel inspected by us, and then there's the Lutheran Retreat Center. Other than that, everything is single family and multifamily.
Mm-hmm. Can you say that again?
There's only one hotel in RA3.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is single family or multifamily. Then there's the Lutheran Retreat Center down in 600 block.
And again, what we did is we kind of tweaked this, maybe about 70 years ago in terms of, adding the characteristics under G, talking about religious institutions and the providing services and for in declared states of emergencies and stuff like that. We had a fairly long discussion probably about 7 years ago about tweaking that particular language. The only thing I would recommend is under the boarding houses, under B, is we add the two definitions of our bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
Couldn't you just, are all those part of tourist lodging? Let's look at the tourist lodging definition. Repeat the definition,
okay.
Maybe it'd be sufficient just to refer to the tourist lodging. But it has to be exactly the same.
Yeah, in that case it says tourist homes, right?
No, it says tourist. Page 14 of 44.
Page 14. We were looking at before.
Hotel.
Tourist lodging has all that stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we could go ahead and replace B with just tourist housing or tourist lodging.
But he's saying take B out and just say tourist lodging.
Just, yeah.
I see. Gotcha.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gotcha. The whole thing.
So we could just take B out and just replace that with tourist lodging.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Okay. What about hospitals and clinics? We don't have one?
We don't have one, and I don't see why we would in that area in the future.
And with the little S there, obviously it would require a special use permit. And then the only other one I had is the question that says real estate. I assume we're talking about a retail real estate agency.
Before we go much further, did somebody bring a hard copy in? Did you bring a hard copy of Chapter 15?
Of the code? Of the ordinance?
Yeah, can we go back to B for a minute and double check that, I forget what you call it, the numbers, SIC code or something like that?
Oh, in the back.
Oh, the SIC code.
Yeah, SIC. We've got 7021 in the current text.
Okay. Are we eliminating that and just using definitions now? That was my sense of what we were doing. If we were limiting the SIC code definition, which, by the way, is no longer used, the NAICS.
It doesn't matter to me. If you look through the rest of the, what are they, SIC codes?
Standard Industrial Classification.
Yeah, SIC codes show up throughout Chapter 15.
They do, and that was the original, my goodness, going back probably 15 years ago when we were trying to do that, because a lot of cities were going to that. I personally think now that we have kind of focused on more definitional characteristics rather than squeezing things into SIC code definitions. So I wouldn't see any problem with eliminating the SIC code reference completely.
Well, we have to kind of define what we're doing here. We kept them for part one. They may be showing up in other places of Chapter 15. If you delete them here, then we're going to go back and...
Okay. I don't mind if you leave them. They're...
So my question is, can you find it? I don't know what 7021
7021 is rooming house and boarding house.
Do you see something more generic that captures all the tourist lodging that we could use instead?
Look at 702, not 7021. You've got to get a broader definition. So just a 702.
So that's not in there.
Let me ask another question about the SIC codes, because the SIC codes will have a strict definition, by the government. Since we have a definition in verbiage and we have an SIC code, if somebody were to come in and find something that, let's say in 7011, that is not what we're trying to capture, would they be allowed then to have it here because we put the SIC code?
Good question. I don't know.
That's why I'm kind of inclined to...
I would say yes to that. Right.
So I'm kind of inclined right now. I mean, I've taken a reverse from where we were maybe 10 years ago where everybody was going to SIC codes because I think there were some reasons why for it. But I'm, by having the verbiage and the SIC code, we're allowing two different kind of definitions for allowable uses.
Well, I'm sorry to open that can of worms. Why don't we stick with permitted uses since that's the agenda item, and if commission instructs staff to go forward and delete all SIC references in Chapter 15, then we can do that.
Yeah, because that might open up an issue, because we do have a table at the end that actually shows everything, too, by the SIC code. So I agree, that's a separate issue, but I think something that we may want to consider. And another reason, too, is because that if somebody were to come in that is not strictly in a particular SIC code, they can argue that it is in that SIC code. Let's say, for example, an adult bookstore or something like that.
When you say we
an adult bookstore may be found under the bookstore categories of the SIC code, which we may allow, and they could come in and then argue that an adult bookstore would be allowable because it's within that SIC code.
Right.
Why don't we do this, since you've raised some legitimate concerns? Why don't we do two things? Why don't we look at deleting the SIC codes as we progress with this permitted use project, and that's consistent with changing the text. And I guess entertain a motion instructing staff to go back and delete the SIC codes for the part one that we've already looked at. I don't think we require another formal report and review session for that.
Well, before we do any motion on that, I just want to mention, in my review of Chapter 15, I did review all the numbers in here in the SIC codes, and there are numerous inconsistencies between Appendix A, which is the, it gives the definitions in paragraph form, Appendix B, which just lists them in alphabetical order. There's things in A that aren't in B, there's things in B that aren't in A, and there are inconsistencies between the two. So if we look at the SIC codes, it's going to be pretty much a complete rewrite of both of those appendices and how those numbers relate to all the references in the chapter, because that was not done in my comment portion of the review.
Thank you.
So if I can recap, so Jim, you're suggesting that staff goes back and looks at the first five that we've already completed?
No. If you want to deal with SIC codes right now, let's make it part of the permitted use process, and that's consistent with part two, which we're just discussing tonight, and part three, which is pending, and any other parts after that. But in order to have a consistent package throughout the permitted use project, just adopt a motion instructing staff to delete the SICs, if that's what you all want to do, in part one. Don't think I need to bring those administrative changes back on part one. Just instruct me to, because council hadn't gotten them yet. They're not substantive changes. They're just getting rid of the parenthetical.
And there are SIC codes contained within 15?
Yes. Yes.
Well, we're looking permitted uses as part of 15, and the SIC one appendices 1 and 2 are appendixes 2, chapter 15.
Yeah. So it seems
they do
like,
appear through the body.
So it seems like if we are really wanting to move forward with 15, then we need to leave SIC codes alone for the time being and then potentially revisit that down the road?
No, I think we make a separate motion tonight to direct staff to eliminate, if we want, all SIC codes in Chapter 15.
Let staff weigh in on that, please.
Yeah. Because we're talking about not just permitted uses, we're talking about now everything in 15.
To do the whole Chapter 15 would be such a comprehensive project that I'm not sure staff, there are some other things on the front of the stove. I'm saying you could start that process and address the issues that Member Galbraith brought up about the inconsistencies by going ahead and deleting, if that's what you want to do, the SIC codes during this permitted use process. We can always go back later on a more comprehensive approach and eliminate any other references to SIC codes. I'm just saying, break it up into two different tasks if you want.
Do we have risk that if we delete it within permitted uses and yet we still have it elsewhere in 15?
No.
To have inconsistencies?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Why don't we ask our illustrious John Batten, how do you use these SIC codes in Chapter 15?
Not very often. Just usually if somebody wants to do something that's not listed as a permitted use, then I'll go through and see if it's in there.
Do you use this or do you go to the actual code?
If I can't find it in the code, then I go to the SIC codes, yeah.
Okay.
And we've, at some point in time, we've actually revised the code to deal with, this is a little bit more complicated, but based on a Supreme Court case, North Carolina Supreme Court case, if you haven't listed it as a permitted use, it's permitted. I mean, if you haven't, you have to list permitted uses you don't want specifically, otherwise they're permitted. The way the commission and council dealt with that difficult task of being proactive and looking at what you want, that left us in the position of saying, well, if we don't want something, we got to figure out what it is and list it. And actually, you will see in the beginning of Chapter 15 a section of what is prohibited. For example, we put container housing in one of those prohibited situations. But if you extrapolate out the legal mandate to expressly list what is not permitted, it's an impossible task. You have to have a crystal ball. So the way we dealt with that was twofold. We amended another part of Chapter 15 to say that if a permitted use, if a proposed permitted use comes in and it's not otherwise clearly provided for in these permitted use sections that we're looking at, then the building inspector takes that proposed use and sees if he can match it up more closely with something that is already allowed. If he can't, then that proposed use becomes a special use that has to be applied for and granted by the town. So we don't really, based on the current code language, you don't need the SIC tables to deal with proposed uses that aren't black and white at the present time.
Okay. All right, so based on all of that, Craig, I mean, what's your perspective?
I was just looking up, this is by the zoning practice by the American Planning Association. This is the most current thing. And what they say is that the use of SIC codes were very popular maybe 10 years ago, but they're recommending moving away from SIC codes, and then they list a number of reasons why. So my recommendation is we just perhaps go through and just identify the language for what we want, and then we can direct staff, I think, to look at the permitted uses part of Chapter 15 and recommend they eliminate SIC codes from the permitted use section of Chapter 15. And maybe at a future, we then looked at the SIC codes, because we do have a table that looks at permitted uses and special use permits and all that sort of thing indexed by SIC code within our ordinance. And I just don't think that it was the way to go when we did it, but I don't think it is anymore. Mm-hmm.
Well, just from a staging standpoint, so we finished the first five and we've signed off on that.
Yeah. Right.
But we're holding that and not submitting to council until we got further along with this effort.
Yeah, I mean, I'll make a recommendation on those first five that we eliminate the SIC codes. That's a pretty trivial thing. I mean, that's just going through and just striking out all the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we don't do that, then we have to leave them in for what we're looking at right now.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be one or the other.
Yep.
I'm not sure we can clap. The application of SIC codes, first of all, I've never seen it in any other jurisdiction zoning ordinance. The only time I've ever seen it is here. Number one, it does have there is some inconsistency we have. Let me try to start again. I'm not sure deleting the SIC code rises to the level of a text amendment. It certainly seems like something that can be done administratively very easily on the self-publishing app. Staff's suggestion is for us to approach town council, see if they're willing to do away with the SIC approach. And if so, direct staff, when they have the opportunity to do so, is to go through Chapter 15 and just delete the SIC references instead of making it a big proposed text amendment process. That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you all want to entertain that recommendation and have a consensus, or I think a consensus is good enough for us to take this to council and get direction from council, then I think we can deal with that SIC.
And we feel like we've got enough of an educated perspective to be able to confidently convey that to council, that that's the right direction to go?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would agree, but, you know, I just did a quick search, and Elizabeth City, for example, has exactly what we have. They have a big table of SIC codes. I'm looking at it right now. So it is a fairly common thing. I'm surprised you haven't bumped into it. But
I've looked at hundreds of zoning, well, dozens of zoning ordinances in the past 20, 30 years, and the only time I've ever run across it is here.
Well, Elizabeth City has it. So, But anyway, I think it's an old model, and it's something that we should direct staff to administratively take care of right now.
So why don't you, do we have a consensus that staff can approach council about deleting as an administrative task the SIC codes in Chapter 15?
If council says they don't want to do that as an administrative task, then we have to go back and redo Chapter 15.
Yes, but I think we can persuade council.
Okay. Okay.
At least one person.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
True.
These parentheticals, these SIC codes, where is it described in our ordinances? Okay, so
in Chapter 15, there's two appendixes in the back, Appendix A and B. One gives a little paragraph definition of what all the numbers are. And
does
then
it say how to apply those? Is there anything that says how you or how the town applies those SIC codes?
Not in Chapter 15.
That I see. No, not anywhere. Really. It's just a question. It's not really. You know, John.
I think it's a permitted use. It's a permitted use appendix, I think, the way we did it.
Not really any different. Not really. Looking at text for permitted use. If somebody comes in the door and they say, I want to do this, I want to do X. X is either clearly provided for in the text of the permitted uses, as it would be clearly provided for in the SIC table tabulations. So it's the same thing either way. And it's just a question of what they want to do in finding whether they can do it either in text or SIC. SIC is not necessarily required approach. You can do it with the text that you've got. And don't forget, if X doesn't match the text, then John analyzes it as whether he can find a comparable or close or fairly equivalent use in the text, then he would treat it that way. If not, then by code language, it falls into a special use that needs to be applied for and granted by council. Is that, you have your SSCs up there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just what it looks like in the code. But John may have a totally different approach. Or am I waiting on this?
So I see the codes. I guess I'm trying to. So it gets back to the question is, if someone were to find something in the SIC codes that was inconsistent with our text, what problems would arise?
I think it's reasonable to assume that could happen, and that would be a difficult thing to figure out.
It's for conversion tables.
Yes, the appendix.
You have to make the right choice. Theoretically, somebody could pick out a different approach, just have it denied and successfully appeal it. Then we have a problem.
So, is there any priority? Is there anything that says, you know, our definitions supersede the SIC codes?
No, I think, to me, what we have are two, within one process, two different ways of looking at it, without one taking precedence over the other. That's why I think you could get rid of the SICs and not lose anything by doing that.
Yeah, if I could kind of jump in as an example, on the very bottom one we're looking at, RA3, we have real estate. Okay, I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I assume that's real estate agents or whatever. And then 6531, and the reason we did that is because obviously the government has very clean definitions of these different categories of industry sectors. And so 6531 is establishments primarily engaged in renting, buying, selling, managing, and appraising real estate for others. We have the language just simply says real estate. Okay, so there is an advantage of the SIC code because it gives nice, clean definitions. But a lot of times I think within those definitions, particularly at the four-digit level, which is what we're looking at here, you can find things in those definitions that perhaps we don't really want. So there would possibly be a conflict where sometimes the SIC code may be broader than what we want, and sometimes it may be more narrow than what we want. So I just see there's a potential conflict. I think it made absolute sense when we did this maybe 15 years ago now. But I think now that we've cleaned up our definitions, because remember, we didn't have really good definitions of a lot of these different things. And so we were using the SIC codes to provide definitions. But now, certainly over the last couple of years, we've cleaned up our definitional categories and everything like that. So I'm not sure if we have to deal with it right now. I'd rather just kind of go look at the language for permitted uses and then maybe think about this a little bit more.
I think that makes sense. I think we're in territory that it sounds like we've got still questions around.
Yeah.
And so do we really want to embark on this immediately?
And we have part of our definitions where we don't have SIC codes attached to it. For example, public buildings and facilities, there's no SIC code there. Home occupations, we spent a lot of time cleaning up our definition of that.
I think it's kind of a non-issue. I've been out the door 19 years and we've had sick codes. I can't tell you how many. I don't think I've ever actually used them once. I've just referred to them if it was something out of ordinary.
I don't think in Kiri Beach we're going to have a lot of conflicts coming in. Now, if we're sitting there in Chicago, where people are trying to do a lot of things, I think we'd have conflicts every single week about this issue. But, I don't think in Kiri Beach we've had a lot of problems that John hasn't been able to deal with. It's just a matter of cleaning things up since we're talking about it. But, without doing that, I would suggest taking out hospital and clinics, removing I. For B, using our definition now of tourist lodgings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everything else is probably okay for... And
real estate, with or without the SIC code, is often ambiguous.
It is, yeah.
Could we use that definition we just described?
We actually use the definition
for
the zip code or the SIC code.
Yeah.
Right. That's establishments engaged in renting, buying, selling, managing, and appraising. So it's agents, brokers, rental agents, selling agents.
That's what the zip code says. So, and then replacing real estate with simply establishments primarily engaged in renting, buying, selling, engaging, and appraising real estate for others.
Right. And so is there consensus we're not going to fool with the SIC codes?
Tonight. We can hold
on. So we're just going to focus back on the definitions and leave the SIC codes alone.
So then we don't have to touch real estate because it has 6531, which is a SIP code, which says exactly what you just said.
Right. I just think that maybe we should clean up the definition, get our definitions clean, because maybe in the future we'll just direct staff to eliminate the zip code or the
SIC code.
SIP code.
Yep. So my
recommendation is for B.
You good with that?
In fact, I'll go ahead and make a motion. Replace B with tourist lodgings. Eliminate I. And replace real estate in section L with a statement, establishments primarily engaged in renting, buying, selling, managing, and appraising real estate.
So we have a motion.
Well, I'll second that motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Okay.
Did we do that last time? Make motions for all these changes? I don't think we did.
No.
Yeah.
So we just made the changes in the motion.
I think it's...
And then at the end,
make the motion.
Oh, is that what we did last
time? That's
what
we did last time.
Okay. That's right, we did consensus. Mm-hmm.
All right. So move into RA3A.
Yep. I don't have any problems with the language. But just as an example, 7 7997 is membership sports and recreation clubs, sports and recreation clubs which are restricted to use by members, which is a little bit different than what we have as a definition. In fact, it's the...
Can you say that again, Greg?
Okay. 7997 SIC code is sports and recreation clubs which are restricted to use by members and their guests. Country, golf, tennis, yacht, and amateur sports and recreation clubs are included in this industry. That's actually the definition, the government definition of SIC 7997.
So that's like non-commercial.
Non-commercial rec.
This doesn't say anything about non-commercial.
I mean, I think our definition is fine in there, but right. Again, this is where we might have a conflict between the definition and the SIC code.
Yep.
So, but I don't have any problem with our definition under F. I think it captures what we already have in that.
So knowing that there's a discrepancy, though, would this be an example where we would want to eliminate the SIC code? It talked about golf courses. Talked about golf courses, things of that nature.
Well, we have such as, so I don't see a big conflict between that definition either, because our clubhouse, swimming pool, and tennis courts, but those are simply examples of non-commercial recreation facilities.
Right, it's true.
I think the point of that all is that it's not open to the public, it's just open to the members.
Yeah. And I guess that's caught up in the definition of non-commercial. That is member, well, I don't know. I'm fine with that definition, but I think I, at a future date, we ought to consider removing the SIC code definition.
Okay, so we'll just flag that.
And we're talking about RA3A,
yes.
Which appears to be ocean dunes and the far north part of the beach property in Kure Beach.
Yeah, back here too.
So that's what we're talking about in RA3A.
And they have tennis courts and a swimming pool.
What's that? Is that the rec center?
What happens if it's a commercial pool? You're not allowed to have it there?
No.
Correct.
Because most of those HOA, even like Ocean Dunes, they're considered commercial pools.
And that's where I guess it's helpful to have 7997 referenced because that does say members.
There are some advantages of the SIC codes because the government's done a lot of thinking about these definitions. I mean, these are well thought out definitions, but they may not exactly be consistent with what we're trying to do, but in some cases they're probably better than our definitions.
All right, so it sounds like we're going to leave the SIC code and no other changes?
Well, just very quickly, it says under hotels and motels, in which business may be conducted for the convenience of the occupants. There will be no such entrance to such places of business except from inside the building. For example, we would allow bar room, beauty shops, sundry, gift shops, lounges, and stuff like that. But I guess they wouldn't be able to enter that from the outside. They'd have to enter it from inside the building.
Right.
Okay. I don't have a problem with
RA3A.
Did
we make any changes to 3A?
Doesn't sound like it. Jim, you good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
No changes.
No changes.
To RA3A. All right. RA4. Right here.
I guess that's it.
Yep. So we've got oceanfront.
Between E and G. RA4 is oceanfront between E and G. So that's basically one and two families, townhouse, condos, hotels, motels. So all you can do is live there.
So in this case, as we spent quite a bit of time talking about the last bullet preceding, so does it mean they can't have non-commercial recreational facilities?
That's correct.
Can I ask another question?
I don't see how they could get a hotel or a motel in there anyway.
Your definitions in RA3 and RA3A, hotels and motels, are different. Is there something special about RA3A that you allow barbershops and gift shops, but that's not mentioned in RA3?
We ran into a little bit of this with the first five as well, and you know, just some things are just a little peculiar that we chose not to kind of rock the boat and change.
But remember, when we put these ordinances into effect in 1973, a lot of this was crafted around what was already there.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly absolutely, which has now changed.
And that's probably where a lot of this comes from.
Yeah.
Just very quickly, and this kind of goes back to the RA3A too. When we talk about hotels and motels, do we want to broaden that and use tourist lodgings? Because our definition of tourist lodging includes hotels and motels. Or do we want to just stick to hotels and motels?
I would stick with what's there unless you're intimately familiar with the area that you're wanting to change.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point. Then I don't have any changes to RA4.
Jim, anything?
No.
Good?
Yep.
Good job. Okay.
Now the B1, we get a lot of SIC codes.
All right.
And just very quickly, kind of a little bit of the history. You know, again, going back to, I don't go back to 1970, but I think I've been on the commission now since 2009. Or something like that. I don't know. It's been a while. And so originally, we just had the definitions, I think, as John correctly said, is that it was built around what was already there when people wrote this up. Mm-hmm. Then we decided to make it more technical with the SIC codes. Then later on, we decided to look at the special use permits. And so you see that there's S's by a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. And so we said that, well, some of these will allow and other ones will allow, but they have to go through a special use permit. So it's been kind of three stages of development of what we're looking at right now. One is the definitions, then the adding the SIC codes, and then adding the S for special use permit.
So John, is there anything in here that you wanted us to kind of be aware of?
I think in the B1 we should allow tourist lodgings too, by the definition. We don't have that. Banks, finance. Well, what happens if Bank of America wants to put a branch to it? Would we object to that?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
As long as it's done nicely and...
You got aesthetic control. B1 is the preservation district.
Right.
So you have aesthetic control, but you could further that control by deleting some of these uses.
Permitted uses in B for banks, finance, and loan companies.
And this is a good example. If you notice that under K, you have SIC codes that are at the two-digit level, 31, 41.
I believe 40. They all begin with an 80. 80 dash all of
those. Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, that's not...
That's not very clear.
It's not presented. No. It's not presented no, well.
Because then you go to 8711, does that mean the 12 after is 8712?
I would assume, yeah.
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 They all come together when you start reading.
Yeah.
So, John, to a question that came up earlier, so as far as B, you'd said, you know, potentially we could eliminate that, but I mean, if indeed a bank wanted to open up in the district and met all the other things that we require of the district, would we have a problem with that?
I guess not. I mean, I'm just looking at it realistically. We're not going to have a bank come down and open up, so.
Right.
John, in D, there's a number of things that about the church being paid for housing and stuff like that. Has the town ever been involved in checking on that?
That's only recently came up, and that was with...
Florence, wasn't it? Hurricane Florence, we did this?
No, it came up with First Baptist. Well, that was his reasoning for what he was trying to do, yes.
Yeah.
But ultimately, he was trying to create a youth camp.
Right.
That's, so, yeah, it's only been a part of the ordinance in the last 5 years, I guess. Yes, sir.
That's something I wouldn't want to get involved in.
How about dance hall?
Looking at the church's book.
I was just looking at that, Greg, and I remember reading in the things that are not allowed, wherever I can find that again. See, here's another confusion with the SIC code. If you look in the uses which are prohibited, which is 1508.050, it says adult-oriented dancing, which I can imagine what that is. But then it sends you to SIC code 7911, which includes any kind of dance hall.
Mm-hmm.
7911 is dance studios, schools, and halls, is what it says in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we're allowing dance halls less than 500 square feet. So we have definitely an inconsistency here.
I'm going to raise another issue because this is an issue that we've raised before we get to that. A lot of small businesses have multiple uses. Okay, so you might have a dance hall that serves food and, you know, whatever. And I remember that we talked about this before, probably 20, 15 years ago. Isn't there something where we define the primary use, that what we're allowing here is a primary use? And we got to be careful because one might say, well, I'm a bookstore, and so I'm allowed as a bookstore, but then you could have a section that could be adult books, for example. So, you know, when we think about these permitted uses, we have to be careful because almost every business is a multiple use type of business. And you know, some of it may fit and some may not fit, and they may say, well, so are we talking about primary use or any use when it comes to this? And I'll refer to our attorney on that one because...
I don't think we make that distinction.
But you can see why it's a problem.
I think we have permitted uses and home occupations. And accessory building in use shall mean a subordinate building, the use of which is incidental to that of the principal building on the same parcel. That's the definition for accessory building. Though we don't get into primary and secondary, it's permitted and accessory.
But just for example, suppose somebody were to come in with a bookstore. I'll use my example and say, well, it's a permitted use. It's a bookstore. But then they have a section in that would be adult books or selling. That section wouldn't be allowed.
That's correct.
Right.
Okay. Because it's not a permitted use.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's the way I would see it.
So then what we're defining is anything that is...
You can't
have any use. that's not defined as a permitted use.
Let me read you the relevant language.
Because I know we discussed this 15 years ago. So. Okay.
Well, we actually adopted something in 2011 that fits.
That would have been what I was thinking, yeah.
Uses which are listed, and that's referring to the district regulation, not the SIC codes, uses which are listed shall be liberally interpreted to include non-listed uses which have similar characteristics. A use that is not listed and that does not have characteristics similar to those of a listed use shall be interpreted as a use requiring a special use permit.
Where is that, Jim? What did you read from?
15.08040C.
All right.
District under district regulations.
Because I know we had this debate earlier when we were talking about this. And it was, what, about 12 years ago?
Yeah. It sounds like it covers this. So is there anything specifically in B1 that we want to delete?
Actually, we put C in there in 2021. That's how we dealt with the problem of trying to figure out what we wanted to exclude in listing that.
That was a 160D change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm fine with the uses. What I would do is, even though we may eliminate SIC codes in the future, for K, I think we need to be consistent and have everything as a four-digit SIC code. So have 8011, 8021, 8031, 8041, 8042, 8043, 8049, 8711, 8712, 8721. Yeah, because
start at the top of the statute or regulation and figure out what stays and what gets changed and what goes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with everything in here, other than the perception that there might be some SIC codes that aren't intended as SIC codes.
And are you saying, Craig, we should make that change now, or we should I
mean, this is wrong. I could come in and argue, well, this allows SIC code 21, and 21 may be manufacturing. I understand the intent is supposed to be 8021, but I don't think that's clear.
Have you already validated that?
Yes.
What you said
was
true.
Yeah, because 8011 is physician offices, okay. 8021 is dental offices and that sort of thing. But if you go to SIC 21, I mean, literally it might be manufacturing or sewage or something.
All right, so we're proposing we change it to 8011, 8021, mm-hmm. 8031.
Right, they're all 80s.
8041, 8042. 8043, 8049.
Right.
And then 8711, 8712, 8721, and then 8111.
That would be my recommendation.
Yeah.
And Craig, item B lets your Bank of America come in as banks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then we would have a separate hearing to make sure it's approved and doesn't have a drive-through.
Mm-hmm.
And only a walk-up.
Don't forget, you could also treat some of these as S's if you want.
Yes.
So look, let's just walk through it because we're kind of scattered. Is there a consensus to keep A as it is?
Yes.
Yes.
Is there a consensus to keep or change B, banks, finance, and loan company?
Keep it.
C, bus terminal. What's the consensus on the bus terminal?
No. Personally,
talking B1 / preservation district.
Mm-hmm. I don't see how we could ever approve a bus terminal going into our B1 preservation district.
Well, that's currently listed as a special use, so
you can keep
it that way or get rid of it.
Wasn't there something last year where they were going to bring a bus up into Kiri Beach?
That was going to be an island.
Proposed terminal.
No terminal, that was just a route.
Yeah, so there were going to be stops in both
There were
going to
be stops, and it was going to be, okay.
Well, I said, let's just leave it, because we're never going to get one.
Yeah, it's special use, right?
And it'd have to be pretty. Or harmonious, not
I'm
pretty.
I'm just curious, why would you want to keep it?
I would say get rid of bus terminal.
I'm fine either way.
Yeah, I don't have a problem.
Might as well clean it up, get rid of it.
All right, C's out.
C's gone.
D.
D's the same language as before, so I'm fine with that.
Keep that.
E. Maybe John can speak to this. A permitted use includes a dwelling when constructed in conjunction with a permitted use, provided such dwellings are an integral part of the main building of such a permitted use.
That's mixed use.
What'd you say?
We want to leave that.
You do want to leave that?
Mm-hmm.
Eating and drinking establishments.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You better keep that.
Service stations. that seems like a blast from the past. I know. You want to get rid of that? Like you did?
Well, we actually have one.
No, we don't.
We had one until...
We had one. We don't anymore.
Last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they could probably be permitted to put it back in.
Right.
That's
there.
True. It's a special use designation, so we can keep that. Food store.
Keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that defined?
5411.
I don't know what a food store is.
Just where
you
get food,
Jim. Look at that gone up in there.
So you can see the
5411 is a grocery store, commonly known as supermarkets, food store.
We got it defined without reference to the.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
See, that's the advantage of the SIC code, is they have good definitions. Yeah.
As long as that is the latest SIC code.
Right.
Which, you know.
It's not defined, so if you want, I could I'll look at those SIC codes and try to synthesize something that captures the intent of it.
Okay.
Okay.
But if we're keeping the food, the SIC codes, what's the purpose of that?
Well, we may get rid of the SIC codes.
Well, John raises a good point. We're not getting rid of it now, and mm-hmm. they're there, and they are sufficient. Then we don't need to change anything except the heading.
Okay. But this brings up the great point that we're going to have to comb through this thing and make sure that every single little thing is defined now if we take the SIC codes off.
Exactly.
Yes.
But can we check those other SIC codes real quickly?
So we're going to need H as it is. Did you want to
look? Well, let's check 5431, 5441.
5431 is fruit and vegetable market. 5441, candy, nut, and confectionery store. What's next?
5451.
Dairy product stores.
5461.
Retail bakeries.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We need a bakery.
We definitely need a bakery.
We need a Dunkin'.
All right. So, consensus, we just leave as is?
I'm with time, yeah.
Hotels and motels?
I would recommend we change that to tourist lodgings.
What's the consensus?
I mean, this is the B1 district.
Mm-hmm. What is right. What's 701 like?
7011 was boarding houses and rooming houses.
So it already references that.
Yeah, I would take out the SIC code and change hotels and motels to tourist lodgings. That would be my
hotel and motel.
Because we already have a definition for tourist lodgings. We don't need the SIC code.
And then 21 is rooming house and boarding house.
Right. It's got everything in it though: bed and breakfast, cabins, cottages, hotels, inns, motels. Mm-hmm. Resort homes, tourist cabins.
Is that 7-Eleven?
11, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so
since
you're right.
It's already sufficiently defined in the code. Can we just get rid of the stick in this instance?
And just call it tourist lodgings? That would be my recommendation. Because we defined it already.
What was there?
We good?
Yep.
Okay.
Parking lots, I think, do we have any in D1?
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Offices for, we've already talked about that. You want to add the 80.
Yes.
Yep.
Personal service establishments, is that defined?
Well, it says such as barber and beauty shops.
Can you check those codes?
We have one, so you want to just keep that?
Yeah, there's I think there's a couple.
It's 7231.
7231
yeah.
Is
what, 1 second, Jim. And then 7241.
Barbershops.
5611.
5611 is retail apparel and accessory store.
And 5651.
Retail family clothing. Why they're there? I don't know. Personal service establishments.
Well, that could be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to dive into that.
It's not contradictory, at least. It just adds to it. So, you guys good?
Good,
yeah.
Okay. All right. So, M?
Public buildings and facilities.
Yeah, we got them.
Retail stores not otherwise listed.
What does that mean, not otherwise listed? Does that mean everything?
I think the list is referring, it's not clear, but I would assume the list is referring to the parenthetical listings.
Yeah.
Right, so then shouldn't it be retail stores listed?
Should be. We're going to be consistent with, like, K, retail stores and delete not otherwise listed.
I'm good with that.
So what's 5251? Just as an example.
250, a hardware store.
And 61?
Garden supply.
So it's like we got to go through every one of these just to make sure that we're good.
Stores.
Yeah, so 5912.
Do we? Yeah, I don't have to go through one. Retail drug store.
5921.
Retail liquor store. We don't have one now.
But we don't have liquor, store? Liquor stores here.
We might get one.
We could get one. Let's not.
That'd be less of a drive.
Yeah, let's not remove that one.
Yeah. 5932.
Retail used merchandise.
5941.
Sporting goods.
5942.
Books.
43.
Stationery.
44.
Jewelry.
45.
Hobbies.
47.
Gift and novelty.
48.
Luggage.
49.
Peace goods store.
61.
Mail order house.
92.
Florist.
93.
Tobacco.
95.
Optical.
So 5331.
Maybe 5331. General merchandise store.
5399.
Retail general.
5712.
Retail furniture.
5722.
Furnishings.
5731.
Equipment electronics.
I mean, it's a pretty comprehensive list, but you know, what's not there that should be, you know, kind of thing.
I think what we probably did at the time is went through here and everything that said retail.
Don't forget, if a use comes in that doesn't match one of those SIC codes, but it's close enough to a retail store, if John's going to treat it as a retail store, based on the code formula.
All right, so we good with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, we have one, don't we?
So we're on O.
Theaters when housed in a permanent structure.
What's 6512, Joe?
65. It probably just says theaters, I would bet.
Yep, that's what it says.
What does it say? 6512?
Mm-hmm.
6512. Operators of non-residential buildings.
That's weird.
And but then it says establishments primarily engaged in the operation of non-registered residential buildings, theater buildings. <It's>,
That's a special use, so you might keep it like that?
Keep it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Q, dance halls with 500 square feet. I've seen a dance hall in a long time. Yeah, with a bar. And then he wants to revise it by including a bar.
And what does 7911 say?
Keep it, delete it, change it.
Just going to get a read on 7911.
Dance studios, schools, and halls. Establishments engaged in operating dance studios, schools, and public dance halls or ballrooms. Establishments engaged in renting facilities used as dance halls or ballrooms. Oh, if you're renting it, it's classified as real estate.
So would a dance studio or a dance school be?
Yes. It fits into the number. It fits into 7911.
Change halls to studios.
Dance studio sound makes more sense than dance halls. I mean, that seems to be left over from the 1940s, the dance hall.
It does say dance studios in the zip code.
So, two questions. You want to keep it and change it? Second question, change it to studios instead of hall?
I would recommend changing it to dance studio.
That would mean just...
That's a big studio.
Okay. Then, oh, that's right. Of at least 500 square feet. Right. Yeah, you're right. I don't think we have... Well, that's 500 square feet isn't very big, no. Actually, when you think of it.
100? It's a lot.
But it's not like a big ballroom.
You want to just say dance studios and delete the rest? After the sick
code. Is there anything that people can rent for dancing anymore?
Community center.
Close off the street.
I mean, downtown Wilmington has a lot of these.
What if someone put in a wedding venue, one of the hotels gets renovated and they use it for weddings and have a large reception?
In B1?
Yeah.
Would that be a dance
hall? That would be a dance hall, yeah.
Wouldn't be a studio.
No, I guess we should leave dance hall.
Just leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just leave it.
I agree.
So what are we doing?
Leaving it.
Leaving it as it is?
Yeah.
With dance hall?
Okay. Real estate offices, I would use the language that we used in the prior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, well, I asked is, happens all the time. Did we have home occupation in the other residential?
Yes, we did.
Yep.
I think we've had that in every single district.
Well, and look at the UK, it's not on the UK.
It's on.
And it's not on, yeah.
It's on RA4.
It's not on RA4 or RA3A.
Mm-hmm. Right.
3A and 4 don't have it. Do you want to include it?
I think we should. Why exclude them from having a little home shop?
Right.
Well, we also included it in all RA1s and 2s and things like that, I believe, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think we included it for everything. Yes, it should be in.
So it should be
RA3A and RA4.
Yeah.
So it should be each of the four that we've reviewed.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. If that's it for that, then we will
of course, it's not it. Jim, I have one more comment.
Okay.
If you look under the B1 district that we just did, the first sentence says, the following are the permitted uses and special uses, because some of them are special uses on this page. Well, also on the RA3 page, there are some special uses. So I believe we need to add the words and special uses to the first sentence of RA3.
Are you looking at the first? I'm looking at
1520.
And I'm looking at the first sentence recommended.
Right. The following are the permitted uses, then I want to add, and special uses, parentheses S, because there are some S's on this page.
This is for the RA3 district, right?
For the RA3 district, yes.
Makes sense.
Yes. Yes, it is. So far.
Anything else?
All right. So I know we've just basically had consensus along the way, so this would be the time to make a motion to adopt the changes that we've recommended for these four zones.
I'll make a motion to instruct staff to adopt the changes that we discussed and had a consensus on in this discussion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Right, we'll bring them back for reviewing and reporting next month.
Yes, sir.
Good luck, staff.
That's not hard enough.
Right. I don't have the list of the remaining zones in front of me, but that's the next topic, is us to decide what we want to take on for next month.
There's four left.
I don't know. After that discussion, I was inclined to get rid of SIC codes, and I'm inclined to keep them because they have good definitions.
Do we have a part three on permitted uses?
Yeah, it'll be four or left. There'd be one, two, three, and four.
So we want to go ahead and take that as part three collectively?
Part three, what are the districts again?
B1, B2, B3, B4.
Did we just do B1?
We did RB1, which was residential business.
No, we did B1. Because that's a historic district.
Uh-oh, I'm sorry.
We have RB1 left, too.
Yeah, RB1 is still left.
That was, there's a little discrepancy. In the agenda, it was indicated as RB1, but we did B1.
Oh, okay.
So
part three is B-2, B-3, B-4, and RB-1?
Yes. Okay. And then last item under new business, we had discussion regarding the batteries used for electric.
No, you missed 6-2.
Well, excuse me, Chairman. Well, that's where are we on the agenda?
That's what we just did. We just did 6-2.
We're on 6.3 now.
Yeah.
No. 6-2. I'm sorry. What 6.2 is the prioritization of the remaining Barlock revisions.
Okay. I'm sorry.
To quote that, everybody understand.
I'm sorry. I thought it was just the permitted uses, but I got you.
So I've already begun my final comments on Ordinance Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. Almost done with them. So unless anyone has any other priority to give me, I'm just going to proceed through 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, when we did the update, or I did the update to council, I gave them status on 15, let them know that even though we had anticipated presenting that last month, there were too many changes and it was going to be a month delay, and then solicited their perspective in regards to where we go next once we finish the permitted uses work. Perhaps best for me to go ahead in the update this time is let them know that we've proceeded now with 1 and 2, mm-hmm. and just determine from their feedback if there's anything that they would like us to prioritize differently.
I'm going to just keep going 1, 2, 3 unless I hear different then.
Okay.
All right.
Well, at least it wasn't a fire drill.
Well, that happened later than I said it.
Yeah. Jim, come on.
fire alarms next. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Okay. So on the battery used for electricity storage, John, did you get a chance to go by the property that Tony had brought up?
I did, yes, sir. So it does significantly stick out from the side of the building. It looks to be about 12 to 18 inches. We do regulate some things, architectural features that are allowed to go over the setback, but battery boxes aren't one of them, and I'm not so sure we want to get into that. So that's kind of my viewpoint on it. The
gotcha.
Setbacks are there for separation between buildings, part of which means fire safety, free flow there. Things like that.
From aesthetic standpoint, and again, just devil's advocate with you, though, if someone were to argue, well, why is that worse than a propane tank that is allowed within
propane
the setback?
Propane tanks aren't allowed in the setback. Not in the setback.
Gotcha.
How far out would you allow batteries? Because, I mean, there are some pretty big batteries you can put around a house. I mean, those are Tesla batteries, right?
Yes.
So they got the big Tesla sign. And so the Tesla batteries are maybe that big.
Yeah, about 10 inches.
Something like that. But I've seen batteries you can get for a house that are...
Those are the ones I saw on Ocean Boulevard, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so do we... We wouldn't want to have that, because those are heavy. You're not... I mean, those would block the setback for fire reasons. I mean, if you had a big battery sticking out 36 inches or 48 inches. So if somebody were to do that right now, we can't regulate that, you don't think?
Oh, I think we could. I'm just saying, I think we should definitely clarify it in the solar part of our ordinance to make it easier for me.
Allowing a certain number of inches.
If it doesn't stick out any further than your regular electrical panel or your TV box or something like that, that's okay. If it extends further out than that, then that's not okay, something along those lines.
But we're assuming here that it's going into the setback.
Right.
What if it's not? I mean, what if somebody's got an extra 2 feet for whatever reason, placement of the house? Is it okay to put this huge battery on the side of their house?
And I would say yes.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. And the only, you know, if it's not a setback, I don't think we can regulate it just simply because it's hard to regulate the aesthetics of a single-family home or a residential house in North Carolina. What we could do is regulate the advertisement of Tesla, you know, if that's annoying to somebody, have big, you know, I mean, pretty soon Tesla might put blinking lights on, you know, on their battery. I don't know.
Sure. But then you got to regulate Generex too, right?
Yeah.
Come on, you can't.
But that's the only thing I think we could regulate is the advertising component of it. I don't think we could regulate putting the box for aesthetic reasons.
I mean, I'm not an expert in it, but I think Tony, when he mentioned it, was coming at it more of also from a safety aspect, that you have this charging battery and this energy hanging on the side of your house right next to your neighbor's home. Is that an issue? I see that more of an issue. But I'm not an expert. I don't know what it takes to have a Tesla battery explode and catch on fire and put out all those wonderful chemicals. But,
well, it's a good point.
The last decent fire was on the north, and it was a batteries burned down the garage and part of the house. And basically, what we're seeing with fire training and everything is, they say just keep pouring water on it till it goes out.
Yeah. I you know, as somebody owns a couple Teslas, I mean, clearly the world's going to solar generation and batteries, electrical cars, and things like that. That's something that's going to happen. So I think it's a good idea that we address these issues. I mean, right now I'm getting a quote for solar panels and a battery for my house. And I think, you know, I don't think I'm the only person doing that. I think we're going to see a lot of people doing that. We've got a big solar company that's moved into Wilmington, and they're building down there in the downtown area right now. And I know they're going to be aggressive in terms of doing some things. So I agree with John. It's something that we need to address. I'm not sure if we can address the fire component of it, though. I mean, they are pretty safe. In fact, I was reading that even though the Teslas have been, you know, a lot of publicity about the fires in Teslas, on a per mile basis, it's about 1/10 the fire of a internal combustion car on a per mile basis. So they're far less dangerous than people think, I think. And people store gas in their garages and stuff like that.
Sure.
It's hard to find a garage that doesn't have a fire tailing can.
Or drive your internal combustion car into a garage. It's made for that. That's probably more dangerous than a Tesla battery. But I don't like it going into setbacks.
Right. That's clear
the problem
to me, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you can't put an air conditioner. You can't put a permanent air conditioner in a setback.
John, how much would you recommend that we... Oh, is that a picture of it?
That's pretty big. How tall is that?
Everybody should go up Ocean Boulevard and check it out.
Yeah. I was trying to find it.
They are pretty big, but they didn't look like they stuck out more than 8 or 10 inches.
Where is it on Ocean? I drove down Ocean twice. I couldn't find it.
It's on the right-hand side. I didn't see the word Tesla on it, but they're big black, big boxes.
On Ocean and what?
Right on going out to Dow.
From here, head out of town, make a left on Ocean. And it's like the fourth house on the right or so.
Just the fourth house on the
right. So it's right there, right there near the beach.
Yeah, it's close to the beach.
Man, I missed it.
If I looked at it.
They make all different kinds of sizes.
How much would you think we should allow encroaching into the setback for a battery, John?
All of that, I mean, treated just like we would an electrical panel, which is about, I don't know, 6-8 inches, 6 outside of the building.
It's not my last one. I have one more.
Just throwing something out there for you.
Do you think this Tesla battery is long, wider than 8 inches?
Yeah, how deep is it, John, you think?
I'll just show you this picture.
What's it? Maybe I looked at the wrong thing, Chris.
Yeah, I missed it when I drove down Ocean.
I mean, why don't we just treat it like an electrical panel? It's electrical.
That's what I just said, John.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think I heard that.
That's why it stuck with you.
Must have been subliminal.
Yeah, it's not much.
TV box.
That's probably at most 8 inches, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And there was actually like a fence there or something, right? Between his property and the next property? John?
Yeah,
that's why. Because driving by, you can't see it like that. You've got to get out of the car and walk up to it.
Is there any kind of industry safety standard that you've found?
If there is, I don't know what it is, but I'm sure they do. That's one thing I triple check on every single solar install is to make sure that the shutoff is clearly marked and accessible. Other than that, it needs to be at least 3 feet from any property line.
John, that Tesla does the shingles. Is that a solar shingle system? I'm guessing that would be a solar shingle system.
Yeah, and then the battery just storage.
Yeah, the battery storage, but what Tesla makes is the shingles and not like the panels. So they're
I think you could use regular solar panels.
You can, yeah.
Or shingles. I don't see.
Yeah.
I think the shingles are very expensive.
They are very expensive, yeah.
And not really available still, so. It says specifications, 5.75 inches deep, 6.3 inches, if you include the integrated solar inverter.
So,
I don't know how that mounts to the wall. I'm sure there's mounting brackets and others that would, and if you closed it, it's all kinds of issues.
John, somewhere we have something references about the electric meter being able to encroach into the setback.
Actually, no, we don't.
They have a very few things that encroach into the setback. But there's a listing.
So, you seeing anything remotely?
I don't know anything.
Well, that's something could be more information gathered. We can always revisit it.
Yeah.
I think we should ask Tony to get some more information and come back with what he was really thinking.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're on the track that he was thinking. It's just a matter of if we were referencing it being kind of equal in depth to an electric meter, but yet we don't have anything allowing us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of makes it difficult to use that as the basis. Right. So, John, is there any category in current zoning that comes anywhere close to talking about what's allowed in the setback?
The only thing I've really applied is 15-36-100, and that talks about cantilever equipment. Or cantilevering over the setback.
Okay. And what was that section again?
36-100.
So, John, is this something that you would want to take a stab at as far as coming back to us with what you recommend? Or
Some language?
I'd be happy to if I get some kind of direction from you guys on what you want to see.
Well, I think we're concurring with what you thought was appropriate. We're
just trying to, within a setback.
Yeah, we're just trying to figure out, you know, how do we document that.
So are we okay with wall-mounted batteries?
I don't think we can restrict that.
Yeah.
I just don't, you know, I just don't think, from an aesthetic point of view, I don't think we can do it. You know, with single-family homes.
Yeah, and I think it is something that's coming. I mean, it's just going to get more and more popular.
Yeah, so.
But I think you can restrict it to setback.
Okay.
As far as restricting the setback, I don't
want these big batteries in a setback.
Right, but I don't think we should just come up with arbitrarily say 8 inches, because if the standard panel is 8.5 inches, we just said nobody could put it up.
Well, yeah, but this is a setback.
Let's argue that next month. Okay.
Yeah. Go that's good.
I just mean, they usually make standard panel sizes.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay,
so we'll look for John's recommendation on next month's agenda. So we've accomplished getting understanding around what the remaining zones we're going to focus on from a permitted uses standpoint, and then the continuation of this particular topic with John's recommendation. Anything else that we would want to tackle next month? And then, Joe, as far as your work continuing on, at what point do you want to socialize that with the rest of us?
Well, I was going to get 3 of them together and then send them to Jim.
Okay.
Right. I believe that's the direction he gave a few months ago.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What's going to happen to me?
Are you going to share your... No. As I come up with more chapters... synaptically revised, I'm going to send 2 or 3 of them to you, directly to you, and you can look at them from there and process them.
2 and 3, I thought your next one was 1 and 2.
Yeah, I mean 2 or 3 in a bunch at a time, not one by one. I'll give you
and
2 or 3.
Word docs.
Red line, just like I did the other one.
Let me.
Not the entire document.
You got a computer here?
No, I don't.
Before you get too involved with finalizing that, I need to show you some formatting tips, because I still spend a lot there dealing with bullets and all that.
Okay, we can do that.
I need to teach you a couple of things. It'll save a lot of time. Thank you.
All right, well, I believe that concludes our business for this evening. So.
I'd like to make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thanks, everybody.